Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee and the studios of WMOT-FM. The Business and Economic Research Center here at MTSU, part of the Jennings A. Jones College of Business, has partnered with the Tennessee Department of Workforce Development to produce a report on green jobs in Tennessee, subtitled Economic Impact of Selected Green Investments. And the lead researcher on this particular report is Dr. Marat Arik, who is the Associate Director of the Business and Economic Research Center. Thanks for being with us, Marat.
Thank you very much.
For purposes of this study, how do you define a green job?
Okay, that's a very good question. And in fact, when we are doing the study, we struggle to come to terms with the concept of green job. And, you know, basically, in general sense, green economy. And in this study, let me just look at the issue from the broader perspective. And we first define the green economy. You know, basically, our basic question is, what is a green economy? The official definition, and based on also our review of the literature, suggests that green economy includes economic activities that are related to five major areas. These are the activities reducing the use of fossil fuels, and it's basically self-explanatory, decreasing pollution and greenhouse gas emissions, increasing the efficiency of energy usage, recycling materials, and developing and adopting renewable sources of energy. These are the areas, activities, that basically make up the green economy. Green jobs then become any type of jobs employed by a company that are by a company that is involved in this type of activities. It's basically, you know, it's energy efficiency, energy generation, transmission from renewable resources, and also any kind of activities trying to reduce the pollution and greenhouse gas emissions.
Now, are we talking about businesses that make these types of activities the focus of their attempts to stay in business, the focus of their ability to make money? Or are we talking about businesses that have a different sideline but simply, say, have a set of best practices for energy efficiency, fuel efficiency, recycling, and that kind of thing? Or they do it in order to improve the bottom line and also in order to be environmentally conscious?
You know, I think both of them the valid arguments. You see some businesses completely involved in this kind of things, but they are in the business of making money.
Right.
You know, the classic example, we're going to probably go over some of those things, but, you know, we are talking about Nissan, the Leaf, the electric vehicle.
Right.
And it's simply a commercial, you know, business. And Volkswagen, energy efficient, you know, car production, Hemlock Semiconductor, you know, polysilicon production, and which is actually important input into the solar industry. And these are all, you know, it's for-profit commercial entities, and they are in the business of making money.
Right.
But you could probably also see some companies, you know, it's trying to really create some sort of awareness, you know, nonprofits.
Say a restaurant, for example,
right,
that happens to recycle its plastic containers or something like that.
That's right. You know, it's they may not see any immediate commercial profit, but, you know, it's a contribution to environment would be substantial.
And did you include nonprofit organizations in this, or were they strictly profit organizations that we're talking about here?
In our study, basically, we focus on six major investments. These are, you know, the commercial entities, industrial, you know, facilities that involve in green activities we just described. From our perspective, you know, our goal was to quantify the impact of these investments on Tennessee's economy. But the broader green job survey that the Tennessee Department of Labor actually completed, they cover all type of businesses. You know, it's a nonprofit, profit. It's basically, you know, they did the across the board survey. They surveyed 6,000 businesses and tried to quantify the number of green jobs, you know, it's employed by businesses in Tennessee overall.
And what did you find? How green is our economy?
You know, according to our especially Department of Labor survey.
I believe I said workforce development earlier.
Department of Labor and workforce development.
Thank you.
I think it goes, you know, it's, I'm
it
just
all goes together.
Using the shortened version.
Right.
According to Department of Labor survey, our economy, Tennessee's economy's green content is 1.5%. It's a lot smaller currently. But they also ask question to employers, you know, it's what is the rate of growth in green jobs? You know, it's, the same survey asked that question too. But, you know, compared to overall job growth, the green jobs growth is significant, about 8% growth in green jobs across the industries. Mm-hmm. And that's a very significant finding that also indicates that even though the green content currently is small, it's a very, it's a growing segment of the industry, and we're going to probably see more and more growth in that green economy sectors.
Is there research in other states, similar research in other states, that you can use to compare Tennessee to in terms of how we stack up, how green are we compared to our 49 other states?
Not all states actually completed their survey, but the ones, you know, completed, for example, we have Washington State, California, Michigan. These are the ones, you know, just came to my mind.
It's a relatively new area of research, isn't it?
It's a new area, and all states right now in the process of completing their surveys. When we compare to some of these states, actually, our green jobs, our level of, you know, green economy is relatively smaller than those states, the green economies in those states. For example, in California or Washington State, you're going to see 3.5 to 5.5% of total jobs in their economy may be called green jobs, but in our case, 1.5% is really, compared to those states, we are far behind. But I must add that, you know, the project we just completed focuses on six major investments.
Right.
These are the new announcements. And the green job survey does not include the employment, the number of jobs this investment will bring to Tennessee. And basically, when you add those things, and also over the years, you know, it's increasing supply chain, you know, it's growth, you may anticipate that in the coming years, you're going to see more green jobs, and the percent of the green jobs in overall economy will increase significantly.
Quoting from the summary, we see in the construction phase, you found that by 2014, total green investments by six major companies will be more than $5.5 billion, and the number of direct green jobs generated in 2011 was more than 5,600, a total economic impact of 9,369 jobs across Tennessee. In the operation phase, at full employment level, the companies are expected to employ directly 4,572 people by 2014, and the total number of permanent jobs, more than 16,000 of those, more than 10,000 jobs, are green jobs.
Yes.
And you say there is great growth potential in this area.
You know, I believe we're going to see more and more investments coming in. What we are dealing here with some major companies like Hemlock Semiconductor, Wacker Chemie, Volkswagen, Nissan, these companies making significant investment in Tennessee.
And these are companies that the particular industries that they are in would not have been thought of by a previous generation as particularly green, but they have come to adapt as more and more evidence has been brought to bear on the subject.
That's true. Normally, you know, what they are doing is they are producing traditional type goods and services, but currently the emphasis is on energy efficiency. For example, Volkswagen diesel cars, and it's significantly energy efficient. And here in Rutherford County, we have a Nissan Leaf Smyrna plant, and basically completely based on electricity. You know, it's no fossil fuels, and also storage, battery storage manufacturing facility here that will be used for the Leaf and some other probably products. And we have E-Tech energy charging stations. It's going to be Knoxville, Nashville, and Chattanooga Triangle. You know, they are building up already.
So these charging stations are going to be built by the private sector? They're not going to be government run?
Private sector, but there's, of course, significant federal grants involved in the process.
I see.
And they are very much cooperating with Nissan and also Tennessee Valley Authority. And some of the charging stations will be powered by solar power. Mm-hmm. You know, it will be beautiful, actually, in that sense. You know, very energy efficient, and you don't see too many carbon footprint overall.
Because one of the questions that has arisen as more and more electric cars are produced is what kind of a strain is this going to produce on the already overburdened national electric grid? Part of which is powered by nuclear, part of which is powered by hydroelectric dams. And the fact that these are going to be powered with solar power is a very encouraging sign.
That's true. And as you mentioned, downside is, you know, how are you going to handle that heavy load on the grids? But we need to also look into issue from broader perspective. In Tennessee, we have one state initiative. It's a Tennessee Solar Institute and West Tennessee Solar Farm. The whole purpose of these initiatives is to make sure that we have enough necessary infrastructure to generate, you know, it's a solar energy and also power some of the facilities with the solar energy. And Tennessee Solar Farm will be an actual lab to experiment this kind of things. You know, it's a generation and basically trying to make sure that, you know, whatever or however we produce solar energy, it's efficient, practical, you know, could be used, you know, outside the solar farm, in a commercial sense.
It occurs to me why this type of research maybe hasn't been done before, other than the fact that as a society, our ecological and environmental consciousness has grown at a rather slow rate. At least, you know, the environmentalists certainly feel that way. But there is no sector, when you look at economic sectors, that could be called the green sector, as it were. You see a manufacturing sector, you see a construction sector, you see maybe a utilities sector, you see a service sector, but you don't see a green sector because a green job, theoretically, could occur in any of those sectors.
That's true. That's one feature, actually, is really sometimes create confusion. You know, it's some people may ask, you know, what kind of jobs are green jobs? How I should prepare myself? You know, these are really important things. Construction sector actually made significant improvement headway in this area. You know, what you see right now is a LEED certification program. The leadership in energy and environmental design certification. And in order to call them green, then you look at whether or not the company, building the facility actually has that kind of certification. And also the workers working for that company actually need to have some sort of certification. In manufacturing, again, the similar kind of things. From construction stage to the operation, you know, it's from assembly line to, you know, it's shipping to, you know, all other aspects, you know, mm-hmm. it's basically how you design the facility. It makes it whether or not it's green, you know, how you design, you know, what kind of material you use, what kind of construction equipment or, you know, processes you follow, you know, when you are building your facility. It's basically about process, it's about what you are producing, you know, those kind of things determine whether or not you are green. In job sense too, you know, it's we see certain number of jobs. Those jobs basically, you know, traditional type of jobs. We call them green jobs because investment in green business, green economy, increased demand for those kind of jobs. That's why, you know, we call them sometimes, you know, but in terms of the job functions, skill, education requirement, certification requirement, you don't see any difference. The same type of, you know, jobs as we see, you know, in a traditional manufacturing facility, for example.
Are math and science going to be more important than ever with regard to these jobs, or can someone who's, say, a college student whose major bent is more toward the humanities or the social sciences than it is toward the hard sciences, also find work in green jobs?
You know, across the board, you have a certain group of jobs. These are new and emerging jobs. And these jobs require a certain type of math and science background. These are the, you know, nanotechnology, for example, you know, specific type of engineers. And in order to be eligible for those kind of positions, you need to have both degree and, you know, math and science background. And there are group of cluster of jobs at the technician level. And in those areas too, you need to be able to, you know, manipulate certain things. And I believe many of those technician level new and emerging jobs requires certifications. Some time ago, Tennessee Board of Regents, actually, they initiated a study to look at which community colleges or, you know, higher education institutions in Tennessee offer what kind of certification programs, and it should be available on their website. But you need that background for many of the new and emerging green energy jobs. But there are also other jobs like energy brokers or, you know, energy trade analysts. You know, it's a kind of social science type. There are professional services jobs that you don't need to have that strong background, but you need to understand the concepts, you know, to deal with the, you know, the green energy sector. Otherwise, you can't handle. The jobs, basically, in that sense, is all over the place. But there are certain positions like solar energy installers, for example. Mm-hmm. If you get your education and certification, you don't have to, you know, my anticipation is that in the next 4 or 5 years, you don't have to look for a job if you have that certificate. You could simply go ahead and set up your own business and do those kind of work. It's basically, you know, some sort of, you become self entrepreneur, yourself become entrepreneur and do the business.
It sounds like it's back to the future in that, as it was with the beginning of the nation, there could be more emphasis on individual initiative upon entering the workforce than on working for a giant corporation. That's it could true. Go either way, but if you have the know-how, you could break out on your own and do your own thing. Does that mean that green jobs might help make it easier for small businesses to survive? They're really struggling, as you know.
You know, I think they may. Of course, you know, I don't have experience from other states, because there are some states like California way ahead of Tennessee and other areas in terms of setting up the system infrastructure, and also the studies dealing with the specific types of occupations in green industry. But I see significant entrepreneurship component in here. You know, you know, certain individuals, as the technology becomes feasible, commercially feasible, and, you know, easy to install, then you may see more and more, you know, business owners actually simply, you know, having that kind of certification may allow them go ahead and do the certain things themselves rather than looking for a job at a company.
Could this also be a way for people who feel that they are marginalized or dispossessed economically, such as some ethnic minorities, to find a pathway to upward mobility through green jobs?
I think there's a lot, there's a possibility in that direction. It's just, you know, if you lose your hope for, you know, getting employed in current situation, or because whatever you have currently, there is a way to, you know, change the dynamics, getting into something different, trying something different, and trying to, you know, get both employment and also self-employment opportunity in those areas. Of course, I mean, that's a possibility. The one thing needs to be done is basically, you know, it's creating awareness of the new and emerging fields in this area.
Is the startup capital going to be there, either from private lenders or from state and federal grants?
Yeah, I believe there will be some initiatives. Let me just give an example from the Solar Institute.
Okay.
You know, we have this Tennessee Solar Institute set up here, and primarily funded by the federal money. The whole purpose was to give, to award, grant money to small businesses, many of them small businesses across the state. And these were some of them installation grants. Basically, if you like to install solar system for your facility, then you apply for the grant, and basically using that grant, you install that thing. And there was, and I think the solar component was $9 million. And there is also another component. It's basically solar innovation grants. It's that grant used for companies, you know, creating something. You know, it's generating something. It's basically boosting their efforts in that direction. I don't remember how many companies received that grant, but a total of, I think, somewhere around $40 million distributed to companies across Tennessee for that purpose. It's, this is just the beginning. And again, the idea is to spread the available funding across Tennessee and help them build their own capacity in solar and green energy area.
At present, I don't expect you to go through all 95 counties, but of what parts of Tennessee is the economy the greenest right now?
Currently, the middle part is the greenest. And in fact, Department of Labor survey suggests that the middle Tennessee is the hotbed of the green economy. When you add these new investments, for example, Chattanooga, Montgomery, Clarksville, up there, and Nissan here, when you add these new investments to the whatever we have in terms of green jobs, you're going to see even more concentration of the green economy in Middle Tennessee part currently. The Memphis area received significant installation and innovation grants from Solar Institute, and I think there is also intensive effort in Memphis area to train workforce in green economy sectors, and they identify several pathways and several jobs, occupational areas that are currently in short supply, and they are basically using federal training dollars actually to train those individuals and become ready for the new and emerging green energy sectors.
How did Middle Tennessee get a jump on the other two grand divisions when it comes to being green?
You know, I think one of them is location, and the other thing is...
There's something to be said for being centrally located.
Centrally located, that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, it's a Volkswagen, you know, for example. It's a major facility, major campus there. And the availability of mega sites, for example, Hemlock, which is Clarksville area. It's a very nice, you know, it's a nice campus, nicely done. And it was easy for them to convince Hemlock to come and set up their facility. When you have these major companies investing in your region, then you automatically actually become ahead of any other areas. In fact, you know, we have right now the world's two major polysilicon production facilities in Middle Tennessee. It's significant.
Is it because these major companies are taking these bold leaps forward that the word green doesn't have quite the stigma that used to be attached to it by comparison to the origins of the environmental movement in the 60s and the 70s, when the stereotype was that big business was just going to dismiss environmentalists in general as a bunch of hippies who didn't know what they were talking about. Environmental awareness and being green has gotten more and more cachet socially than it has had in the past. And with big business coming on board, does that... Is that the catalyst, the spark, that environmentally friendly jobs needed in order for them to take a rightful place as an economic fuel?
You know, I don't have, frankly, experience. I haven't looked at the issue from that perspective. But from the company's perspective, it's purely business motive. And also, this awareness created at the federal level. Once they start identifying the commodities or characterizing certain commodities as green, and then we actually start characterizing certain type of businesses as green. For example...
If you name it, you own it.
Yeah. For example, you know, the car production is the same as, you know, what used to be. But the end product defined by the Federal Register, end product is the energy efficient car. And then we actually take that business as green. Polysilicon production, it's not itself could be, you know, overall the production process. I know actually they are really focusing on improvising the production process too, basically making it green too. But we look at the end product, that's the polysilicon, and how that polysilicon is used. It's the important input into the solar energy system. Without polysilicon production, we don't have the solar energy, you know, it's our solar products. And that's basically because of that future, we then label that facility as green. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, you know, it's an overall concerted effort. Of course, what you see internationally, the oil prices have a dependence on fossil fuel, and it's basically becoming big drain on, manufacturing sector because increasing energy costs. And we need to find a solution to diversify or reduce the dependence on the volatile energy prices.
Is it fair to say, or would it be hyperbole to say, that some companies' ability to diversify and to go green has saved them, in some cases, from becoming but relics of a bygone era? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that the American auto industry came to the edge of the abyss and looked over down into the canyon and did not like what it saw and was pulled back, and said, phew, and breathed a great big sigh of relief.
That's true. I think for many businesses, you know, if they diversify earlier, then they actually follow a stable path in the production process, whatever they are producing, because you don't see that kind of volatility in their cost structure. It's just they know they produce their own green energy, you know, it's, energy through the solar systems, you know, those kind of things. And I believe it helps some industries, you know, which diversify earlier their source of input.
The report is available for anyone to read in its entirety. It's on the Business and Economic Research Center website, which, does it have a tilde in it? Is it www.mtsu.edu/tilde-BERC?
Both of them work, right?
Both of them
Both of them work, yes.
Okay.
Previously, you know, we had to use that tilde sign.
Okay. www.mtsu.edu/BERC.
That's right.
Dr. Murad Arik, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.